On today's episode of the Natty Boys Podcast, we talk about the big fight from the weekend that everybody's talking about, the Yankees-Tigers brawl. We also give our 2 cents on the Mayweather-McGregor boxing match. We find a couple reasons for Cincinnati sports fans to feel optimistic about their team's futures. And we discuss a couple teams that, thanks to some injuries, may not be feeling too positive about their immediate future. We provide the latest updates on the Cavs and Celtics trade. Things are looking a little bit uncertain now, thanks to some questions around Isaiah Thomas's physical. DB has a confession for the team. And inspired by the Mayweather-McGregor fight, we wrap things up with a fantasy draft of other sports crossovers that we'd most like to see. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
All right, welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is Tuesday, August 29th, and boxing is dead. I know Mayweather won the fight, but he didn't win it convincingly enough to say that he's that far above McGregor. And also, now that he's done, who does boxing have left as a star? I mean, I'll admit I don't follow it, but for a casual fan, I don't know of anybody that would get me interested in watching any boxing matches.
No. And, you know, that's what they were saying about this the entire time, is that if Conor beats Floyd, boxing really is dead.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, he went 10 rounds with him, which wasn't supposed to happen. Everyone was saying that, you know, Floyd was going to knock him out early, and that's what all the boxing pundits were saying. Like, he's not even close to the same class as Floyd. Like, there's no way he hangs with him. And I found it very entertaining. Yeah, he did. He hung with him the entire time.
I vote that the next face of boxing be that guy that apparently failed Wade and had a bunch of weird excuses that was on the undercard.
Blue shit on his head?
Yeah, the guy that had the weird blue thing.
Hearing him talk after the fight, that dude is dumb as shit.
Yeah. I'm like trying to explain how he didn't punch him in the back of the neck, but he did. But he didn't actually do it to affect the fight, and it was that guy was a piece of work.
Having a hard time with the fact that he came out with that blue fuzzy hood, whatever, took that off, but he still had those blue fuzzy like stripes down the side of his shorts. Like,
right?
How the hell are you allowed to, like, I don't know. That just seems weird to like fight with that shit.
They're trunks, witty.
Yeah, okay.
I just don't get how, okay, that's your 50th win, so you've obviously fought a ton of boxing matches. Just don't understand how a guy that it's his first fight hangs with you like he did. I don't
know. Well, 40. Like
Yeah, but he was in freaking amazing shape, obviously.
To Mayweather's credit, I mean, he kind of did what Mayweather does, and he kind of took his time the first few rounds. He didn't do much. He was trying to feel McGregor out, see what he had. And he also said in his post-fight interview that they wanted to let McGregor tire himself out. And I don't think that was him making excuses for his kind of slower start. I think he legitimately was letting McGregor kind of tire himself out, because he was throwing some hard punches.
And swing himself out.
And McGregor did land a couple, but mostly they were just little jabs.
Yeah,
but I mean, you could see after about 3 or 4 rounds, McGregor was just gassed. I don't think. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was going to make it the distance.
No, he was going to just fall asleep mid ring.
There was one point in the fourth that he like glanced up at the clock, and you're like, "Oh, that's not good." There was still like 1:30 left in the round, and he was already looking for it to be over. It's like he's not going to last this entire fight.
Now, right. I know McGregor landed a couple early, but Mayweather is really lucky that he didn't land a few of those, because those really and he did stumble Mayweather once or twice, and then we'll get into it a little bit. But every time Mayweather got into trouble, he would turn his back and get the fight stopped, which I know is I know a lot of guys lock up in boxing, but it was getting to the point where you could tell even the ref, who was very pro Mayweather the whole time, was even starting to get a little fed up with Mayweather's bullshit on that.
Yeah, I mean, he told him to quit turning his back and to keep his head up. And and I don't, I don't watch boxing, I don't follow boxing, so I don't really know how Mayweather fights typically. I know he's a defensive boxer generally, but I'm pretty sure this was a specific strategy just for McGregor to try and kind of prey on his MMA instincts, because you could see as soon as Mayweather ducked that head down, McGregor would come up with that hammer fist to the back of the head, which you can do in MMA. And like, I honestly thought early on watching it, like, shit, this is going to end up in a DQ because McGregor's going to keep doing this, and he's finally going to just, the ref's going to call it and say, nope, we're done.
I thought the exact same thing. When he kept throwing those hammer fists, I was like, the ref's going to take a point away, or he's going to end up disqualifying himself because he looks so out of place in the boxing ring.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't look like he was supposed to be there. Yeah. And I think that that's because, you know, he's only been boxing for 6 months or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it was just instincts. And there, he wasn't, and he wasn't doing it maliciously. He's not like, oh, you know, fuck this guy, I'm just going to go straight MMA on him.
Fook this guy.
Yeah. That's right. Fook this guy. Yeah, that was awesome. But it's just, I think it's just so hard for him when he's been doing the mixed martial arts his entire life. And now he has to go with strict boxing rules. It's a tough transition.
I kept waiting for that instinctive knee.
That's what I was going to say. I kept waiting for that knee square in the nose.
The other thing I was worried about, if it didn't go to a DQ, was McGregor ended up getting himself knocked out because he would get like basically hesitant or gun shy to do anything because he kept getting called for stuff. And I don't think he got to that point, but I mean, it had to have been in his head at least at some point. Like, all right, I got to stop doing that. And once you start kind of consciously thinking about things like that, you're not focusing on actually in there fighting in the moment. So that could be a detriment.
And that's one thing, too, where the only way Mayweather was going to win on disqualification is, I think, if McGregor like literally knocked him to the ground with one of those hammer fists. Yeah. Just because there was too much at risk here. They weren't going to just call the DQ right away just because of that, knowing that. And like we had talked earlier before, Whitty, the ref, when he was reading the rules, and I think, I can't remember if it was Whitty or DB that had mentioned it, he was speaking specifically to McGregor the entire time he was reading the rules.
Yeah, he was like making full eye contact with McGregor the entire time he was talking about the rules.
The disappointed grandpa.
Yeah. I forget what he said, but he even kind of alluded to the fact, like, I'm not going to, you know, put up with any of the MMA stuff. You're boxing now. Yeah. So, I mean, he was specifically talking to McGregor with a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think in the ninth round, you could really tell that, I mean, it started in like the sixth, but in the ninth round, Connor got really wobbly on his feet, and I didn't think he was going to make it out of that round.
Neither did I.
And then, let alone in the 10th, he ended up, you know, they ended up calling it. Yeah. And after the fight, he was talking with Jim Gray. And side note, Jim Gray is really creepy.
Yeah,
he's such a douche. I just want to throw that out there. I don't like him very much. But when Jim Gray was talking to Connor after the fight, you know, Connor kind of thought that the ref called it a little bit early and that he wanted Floyd to knock him down. You know, like, let me go to the ground.
Yeah.
That's what he kept saying. I tried to do an Irish accent there. I don't know if I came through or not.
I kind of agree with McGregor on that. But at the same time, from the ref's point of view, he really wasn't doing much to defend himself or fight back at that point.
No, he wasn't protecting himself at all.
But Connor did say, I mean, that's how he gets when he's tired. And I mean, that may be right, but the fact that he was tired meant that he wasn't going to be hanging around much longer anyway, because it's not like he's going to get a sudden burst of energy where he's like, all right, he's back. And I think at that point, he was too tired to hit hard enough to really knock Mayweather out. And that was going to be his only chance at that point.
He wasn't throwing hard after like the seventh round. He didn't have that energy behind any of his punches.
Yeah. I think he took three or four of the first five rounds, but every round after that was clearly Mayweather once that fatigue started to set in.
Yeah, and you got to give McGregor credit, too, because he's not, like, he did say, oh, you know, I think they called it a little early, but he not once said that I had a shot. Like, he knew he was done, which that's all you can ask for somebody that was, you know, I mean, and he was completely out of his element. It would have been a shock of the century if he actually won. It would have been awesome if he won. I would have loved that. But, I mean, I don't think at the end of the day, as much as he talked, I don't think he really, I mean, I guess maybe as a fighter you can't have that mindset, but he even had to know it was going to be a snowball's chance in hell for him to get that win.
Yep.
And that's one of the things, after he lost to Diaz in the UFC, like, he was very humble in his loss. And that's one of the things that I like about him. Like, he's so boastful before the fight, but then, you know, when he actually, on the off chance that he is going to lose and gets his ass beat, he accepts it, and he's like, all right, I'm going to go back, I'm going to get better, and I'm going to come back harder.
And
I think that with Floyd retiring, I'm putting retiring in quotes, he's only retired until the next $200 million payday.
Yep.
Even at 40 years old.
With Floyd retiring, is Conor McGregor now the face of boxing?
He's already announced he's going back to the UFC, actually.
I wouldn't have been surprised if Conor just kind of called it a career after that, too, just because he's got more money than he needs now at this point.
And he's talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, one of his friends over in Ireland died recently, like within the last year or two, I think, because of combat sports. And a lot of people thought he was going to be done after that, but after he saw his friend die. So I wouldn't be shocked.
So one of the things that they showed, one of the clips that they showed last night, was of him, like, in one of his really early UFC fights, like, after a win, he was like, $60,000.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, that was a big payday for him, which, I mean, is a lot of money. Yeah. But to rake in, you know, anywhere from 50 to 100 million last night one night, a pretty impressive 4-year climb for him.
Yeah, yep. And there was that crazy stat where Floyd Mayweather last night made more money in his fight last night than any NFL or NBA player had made in their entire career. Like,
that's insane.
Because the MLB was ruled out, obviously, because they have those massive contracts.
Yeah, right. A-Rod's had two different $250 million contracts.
Right, right. But with McGregor, I mean, he doesn't have to stick to the whole UFC thing either, because with his personality and just the way he carries himself, I mean, he could go into some kind of commentating role. He could, I mean, he could get into, like, acting if he wanted to. I don't know how good of an actor he would be, but he's got the personality for something like that. So
it's larger than life.
He's got so many avenues he could take to earn a living, to stay relevant, and use that charisma that he has. That he doesn't have to, again, subject himself to the abuse that he would have, you know, fighting in the UFC. So if he goes back to that, it's probably going to be just for the love of the sport.
Right. And if he does take the acting route, I'm going to be pissed that he didn't do it in time for when Sons of Anarchy went over to Ireland. I mean, he could have been Ireland's version of Jax Teller, for any of you Sons of Anarchy fans out there. They could have had a little rivalry going as soon as he got over there. But
hey, maybe a spinoff show, Sons of Anarchy Belfast.
On a different side note, I hate every single one of Conor McGregor's tattoos.
They're not good.
Pretty weird.
He's got, like, the panther on his chest. He's got a tiger on his stomach. And the spine one up his back just looks like it fucking hurt.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way I know how to explain it. I don't like any of them. The guy as a character, but, yeah.
It looks like a regrettable one. Isn't it like a cross with, like, a barbed wire straight down his back or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. A little weird.
Yeah. Well, they weren't the only fight going on this week. One of my favorite things this time of year, it seems to always happen, basically mostly because guys are getting bored, and you know, a lot of the people are feeling the pressure of the pennant race. But we had our first big baseball fight between the Tigers and Yankees the other night.
I love a good bench game, clearing.
Yeah, and three times they got three bench clearing.
Yeah.
But no, that was a fun fight. It was actually a real fight. So you saw Miguel Cabrera throwing some punches.
Yeah.
a lot of times in baseball fights, you just see some shoving and shouting. But
that used to be one of my favorite things from all the old sports centers. I forget who always used to say it, but he'd call it the bench clearing heated discussion.
Yeah, that sounds like a Kenny Mayne thing.
Probably, yeah, it does sound like Kenny. But yeah, usually they get out there, everyone's kind of jawing at each other, but you don't really get too much action out there, and the Yankees and Tigers, they definitely went all the way with it. So
Miguel Cabrera definitely does not have a future in MMA or boxing.
Yeah.
he threw like two punches and then got taken directly to the ground by the Yankees catcher, whose name I can't think of right now, but
Jorge Posada, right?
Yogi Berra.
Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez.
Oh, yeah.
But he ended up getting a seven-game suspension for, you know, basically throwing the first punch. Mm-hmm. A couple of the pitchers got one or two games for – there was one guy in the game that got hit in the head with a pitch. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the first times that the benches cleared was because a guy got hit in the head after a home run, which is – that's kind of a bullshit play if you're a pitcher to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, throw at the guy's thigh or his, you know, somewhere that's not going to kill him possibly.
Yeah, it was definitely a better fight than Bryce Harper's fight. And
concussions are fake.
It was, I liked it a lot more than the Bryce Harper fight. It was a lot more action packed. No weird helmet throws or anything.
Yeah, but
his hair did not look as good as Bryce Harper's. Bryce Harper had the hair game on point that day.
So sticking with baseball, the Reds had a 3-game series over the weekend playing the Pirates, and they were wearing some special jerseys. Was it Players Weekend?
Yeah, it was Players Weekend in conjunction with the Little League World Series.
Okay. So that I'll have to get Mac's opinion on this because he's a big jersey guy. But I actually liked the Reds pullovers that they were wearing.
I like the plain font, name and number font on the back. I'm not a huge fan of the script Reds across the chest real big.
No.
I would have liked to see the wishbone C or something just on the left breast or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm a sucker for the pullover jerseys. I know they did the red sleeves because that's how the Little League World Series jerseys look.
Yeah.
But just an all-white version of that with the red C instead of the reds across the chest would have been ideal for me as far as their future jerseys as well. So.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of really any of the Players Weekend jerseys, but it all comes down to it's a reason to sell more jerseys and make money for the MLB. But
Yeah. So one thing I noticed, and this is a little bit of a brag, I was at the game Friday in person. The red on the jersey wasn't like the normal Reds color. Like, it was a little bit off, and it was the same with the Pittsburgh yellow.
Yeah.
It was more of like a neon yellow than anything else, and the red was like it was brighter somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But the players each got to pick nicknames for the back of their jerseys, and Robert Stevenson was pitching that night, and he chose Bob. I guess he goes by Bob, which is, I mean, that's not really a nickname. It's your given name, but I thought it was pretty funny. And he actually had a decent outing,
which was good.
He struck out nine. Yeah, he struck out nine. He actually retired the first six batters through strikeouts in the game, which I think was some sort of record. First time a pitcher had done that for the Reds since like the 60s or 70s or something.
So real quick, what are you guys putting on the back of your Players Weekend jerseys?
Double meat.
Nice.
Double meat, baby.
It's a double entendre.
I mean, are you allowed choosing witty?
Oh, yeah, I'm choosing witty.
I'd just do a backwards K because I'd probably go down looking.
Nice.
And I'll put Houdet on the back of mine since that has nothing to do with the Reds.
Ooh.
I some of the names were funny. Like Cozart, why was he coach? Like
that's, I don't know.
Just, yeah,
if that's maybe a nickname because he's always trying to coach guys up. I don't know.
A lot of them needed explaining. Like Eugenio Suarez was Nicole or Nicoye. It was Nicholle.
Yeah.
I don't know how you say that in Spanish, but
and then
I tried my best.
Peraza was something else. It was like a full name. It was like somebody's full name.
Yeah,
I know that Patrick Kivlahan was
believe
for the Eric LeGrand, the guy from Rutgers who's paralyzed.
Yeah.
My favorite was probably Scooter Jeanette's. It just said Ryan on the back, so his actual true name, since he goes by Scooter.
Yeah. That his whole reasoning was his Scooter is a nickname. That's what he goes by, so why not use my real name on my player's jersey?
Yeah. Duval was just Duvy. Billy Hamilton was Bone. And then, can you explain Joey Votto's, which it was Taki 2, T-O-K-K-I, with the number 2 on the end of it.
So, Shinsu Chu, I believe his nickname is Taki. And I don't even know what that means. But I saw Joey describe it as Shin Soo-Chu was Taki 1, so he was Taki 2. I don't understand anything Joey does some of the times. Yeah,
Joey's just weird. The weirdest person that is alive.
So,
mm-hmm.
So I don't understand, but he's that was his reasoning, which, like you said, some of them need an explanation. Even his explanation doesn't really make sense. So
speaking of Joey, or Taki 2, if you will.
Which Taki is the Korean word for rabbit, by the way.
So that makes less sense to me now.
Well, I guess.
I'm actually more confused.
I guess it has something to do with Joey trying to keep up with Shin Soo-Chu was trying to chase the rabbit around a dog track or something. So they started calling him Taki. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Such a weirdo.
Yeah.
But sticking with Joey, he has the longest on-base streak in MLB currently. And he also tied another record with, I think it's his own record, where he got walked 5 times in Sunday's game.
Yeah. Why are we paying impressive. Him all this money just to get on base?
How selfish of him.
Jesus.
It was crazy at one point today. The pitcher for the Pirates had 15 pitches, and Joey was 11 of them. Yeah. It's just like the efficiency of his at-bats versus Cozart went down first pitch he swung at, popped out, and then you had Hamilton who struck out on 4 pitches. Like, it was just crazy. It's like, it's amazing watching him at bat, especially with two strikes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a master of hitting.
Because I think he was down 0-2 at one point, even in the count, and still managed to get 11 pitches. It's crazy.
So over the weekend, another rising pitcher for the Reds came through the system. Tyler Mahle got called up to pitch his first game for the Reds on Sunday.
Which was kind of cool. They had Chad Wallach. Is that his last name? Wallach?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the catcher that had basically been... Because all the catchers in the Red system apparently decided to knock up their wives at the same time last offseason.
Sure.
Nice. All three of the catchers' wives.
That's been one hell of a party.
But all three of the wives have had kids within the last month or so. I forget who's up now. I know Mez's wife had their kid.
DB's up next.
I don't remember which one. Stuart Turner's wife was due, and I believe that Barnhart's wife, I think she had their kid. So they were worried. They needed Barnhart and Stuart Turner. Sorry, why did I say Tucker? They needed Barnhart and Stuart Turner's wives to space it out a little bit because otherwise they were going to be without a catcher. So they knew they were going to have to call one up anyway.
I'm pretty sure Scooter can do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So they end up calling up Chad Wallach, the guy who basically has caught Mahle the whole way through the system. So nice. They let them have their start together. So pretty cool story.
Yeah. And he did okay in his first start. He was a little erratic at times. I think he walked four or five. Yeah. And he also had 5 Ks. But it was it's still exciting to see a young pitcher come up and hopefully, you know, maybe not next year, but the year after, maybe he'll get called up at the end of next year and stay up the following.
It's just crazy. He's 22 years old.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject of up-and-coming Reds prospects, Hunter Green made his professional debut tonight as well.
As a pitcher?
Yeah, as a pitcher. Yeah.
I was going to say.
He threw one inning, right?
He threw one inning. He topped 100 a couple times with his fastball. So
nice.
It'd be excited to see what...
Is he in Billings still right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The LeBron of baseball.
That's right.
Oh, fuck him. Not Hunter. LeBron. But if he gets sent up to Dayton at any point this season, I feel like we have to go up and watch.
Oh, yeah.
Even if he doesn't end up in Dayton this season, I'd imagine we'll at least get him for a little bit next year before he gets on the fast track.
Definitely.
Since Dayton's one of their marquee minor league teams. They like to get the prospects there, at least for a little bit of time, no matter what path they're on. Because a lot of those guys could probably jump over Dayton and go straight to the high A team. And they usually give them a little bit of time in Dayton because of the close proximity to the Reds. The Reds fan base.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the future is looking bright for the Reds if they can keep guys healthy, keep guys around, and continue to get the most out of them. I think that's one thing mm-hmm. that the Reds farm system has really done well, is to develop that talent so that it can, you know, those guys can be around for a while. So hopefully they can get through the system quick enough to where they're coming up when some of the core players now are still around and producing. But there's a lot of things to be excited about as a Reds fan.
A lot of things to be excited about for as a Bengals fan, too. They had their third preseason game this past Sunday against the Washington Redskins in D.C., and the first team offense looked pretty damn good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the defense actually played better than they had the first two games. Had a big stop, you know, to start the game, and then Burfict hit his pick six.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that was a hell of a play by Burfict.
He was flying around. I've never seen him run that fast.
Yeah,
he
came into kind of stiff armed.
Cousins.
Stiff arm Cousins as he went to the end zone.
You like that?
He came into camp in a lot better shape than he had any of the years before. Mm-hmm. And you can
best
really
shape
tell
of his
right
life.
Now. The offense looked great. We have some. Looks like Burfict's going to be in concussion protocol. Jeremy Hill may be a little bit dinged up. Other than that, I mean, I saw Andre Smith get owned a couple times, which was to be expected.
Yeah.
Par for the course for him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked how quick Dalton was getting rid of the ball, too. Knowing that, you know, their O-line's their weakest link this year, or supposed weakest link.
I mean, that's how it was last year, too, I think.
Yeah, Dalton firing the ball around quick is what I wanted to see. So, yeah, I mean, the first-team offense definitely looked a lot better than they had the previous week.
Yeah. I got excited when I saw that he was playing, and I was a little bit disappointed that we really didn't get to see much out of John Ross.
No.
I don't know if they'll have him play much in the fourth preseason game or not, just to get him some reps. But I am excited to see what he can do once they turn him loose.
Right. He was used more as a decoy today. There were a lot of times where they sent him in motion for a little fake, like, flare into the flats, and then they hit a guy with the screen on the other side. Or
He got a carry today,
Yeah, he
too.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah,
and honestly, that was even nice to see. Was see him used as just a distraction, because it did. It took a lot of pressure off of Green, and I'm excited to see what he does, and I do hope they let him play in the fourth game just to get the experience.
Everyone keeps talking about how big of a help he's going to be for AJ, and I do agree. I think he's going to help Eifert out more than anybody because he's going to clear out that linebacker in safety every single time.
Definitely,
Eifert was one of the guys that didn't play today, but they said it was just precautionary. I think it was his hammy. So he did not get any reps today, but they said it wasn't anything major. And it was nice to see Giovanni Bernard back in the game.
Yeah, I was happy to see Gio back.
He looked okay, and he looked okay in everything
he did
on the field.
He's got a history of knee issues, so it was good to see him running around again. Yeah.
As far as dress rehearsals go, I think that was pretty good for the Bengals, especially early on. They looked And like they were talking on the broadcast, it was hard to tell at some points whether the Bengals were just outclassing the Redskins or the Redskins are really bad. But you could tell that the Bengals were hitting everything that they were wanting to do. It wasn't just a bunch of really bad breakdowns by the Redskins. They were pretty much doing whatever they wanted to.
Yep.
And I hate to root for them, but Mixon looked pretty damn good too.
Yeah. Also, not to talk about the Redskins too much, but I think it speaks to, you know, Cousins played until the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah.
Or close to the end of the third quarter. So it's crazy. Yep.
And then Colt McCoy looked good after.
I was going to say, who knew Colt McCoy was still alive?
Way better.
I know.
I think Cousins is going to be all right. I hope he is, but because I don't dislike the guy.
Yeah.
No, I like him.
But yeah, like that, like you said, Hefe, that was pretty telling that they let him play that deep into the second half. Not that he has a job to win, but I think they're wanting to maybe put his feet to the fire a little bit.
Yeah. They just got such an awkward relationship with their starting quarterbacks, it seems like. Because they had all that drama with RG3 and now Cousins, and it's just...
It's what happens when you have an idiot owner.
Yeah.
Huber's going to make some highlight reels.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
His punt that should have been blocked, but he ended up... I mean, he still ended up getting tackled in the backfield, but he kind of got the ball, realized that he was going to get stuffed, and then kind of did like a fake around the back pass to himself and tried to scramble for it. Didn't end up making anything of the play, but it was still pretty funny to see a guy whiff at it.
If he would have picked up that first down, oh my God. he'd be a freaking legend right now on Twitter.
Or even if he just could have pulled off getting the punt off after that.
Yeah.
When he made the one guy miss before I saw the guy peeling off the blocker, I thought, holy shit, Huber's going to run for a first down here. Like, this is going to be highlight material for a long time. But and then it looked like he was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to run. I'm going to try to punt. And then he got tackled, which...
For a second there, it looked like he was going to try and punt left-footed.
Yeah.
Like, the way that he was pulling up right before he got tackled, I was like, is he going to try and launch this? Is he left-footed?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Never mind.
That's why they like him so much, because the spin is different, and it screws up return, man.
That makes sense. I'm sorry, Huber, if you're listening to this, you can feel free to come on the podcast, and I'll apologize to you for not knowing which foot you kick with. I saw Pat McAfee ask if Huber wanted to be on the show tomorrow to talk about that play.
Nice.
One side note to the Bengals preseason as we're wrapping up Bengals talk, because I don't anticipate we're going to have much to talk about after the fourth preseason game, because there's not really, unless someone big gets cut, that's not expected. But Marvin Lewis today, they came back from a break and they showed Marvin Lewis with one of those cotton swab things stuffed up his nose like he had a bloody nose. And I thought,
yeah.
So I was trying to figure out, did he get hit with a ball that got kicked out of bounds? Did he bump someone's shoulder pad when he was celebrating, like batting someone on the head or whatever? And it turns out that Marvin Lewis is known for getting nosebleeds during passionate halftime speeches. Willie Anderson's tweet, he was tweeting about, he could tell Marvin got after him in the locker room because he had seen Marvin get so angry and screaming so much that his nose would actually start bleeding. That sounds like a medical unhealthy issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
It so, does not sound like Marvin Lewis either.
Because, and that's what a lot of people say, that you know, everyone always thinks he's this, you know, like, woe is me. Like, he's not going to yell at people. He's just kind of not happy-go-lucky, but almost apathetic about a lot of things. But they say behind closed doors, he is one of the most fiery coaches that, that are in the game, which it's hard for me to believe, but if the guy's making his nose bleed by screaming, I tend to believe a little bit more than I did before about how passionate he gets.
So the Bengals had a couple guys go down in the preseason game. Hopefully it's nothing serious, but on some other NFL teams, there are some serious injuries that are putting people down for the count. The first one we'll talk is the Patriots, Julian Edelman. On a non-contact play, he was making a cut on the field, and his knee just kind of buckled, and he came up holding it, looking like he tore his ACL, and he's gonna miss the rest of the year.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a tough blow for them. I think that's one of Brady's favorite targets, so not having them, I'm sure that hurts, but with it being the Patriots, I have no doubt that someone else is gonna step up and be just as productive, if not more.
You know that old cliche that next man up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a Belichick thing. Mm-hmm. The other one that I saw recently was Kansas City Chiefs.
Spencer Ware.
Spencer Ware, thank you.
Cincinnati born and raised.
Yep, we went to Princeton, I think, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's and again, it's another one where it's not really a big loss because...
His is the PCL.
They have Kareem Hunt, who has looked amazing. And that's what the same thing with Edelman was Hogan stepped right in for him. And I think Brady hit him with four passes. Like, he didn't even miss a beat. So, you know, and that's what I like to think the Bengals would be the same way. Because, I mean, the Bengals have a very deep roster. So I think that's why you see. Yeah. But I think that's why you see these teams that are successful is because they have such a deep roster. And truly, the next man up is ready to go. So,
and I saw a joke on Twitter after Edelman got hurt. I forget who it was that tweeted it, but someone was like, "Well, time for another 6 foot white guy just all of a sudden come out of nowhere."
Yeah,
which is so true, and that's why I hate the Patriots so much.
Where did Hogan go after last year? Like, he came and went, and
and that would fit. That would fit our friends over at Part of My Takes theory that. Belichick just has these guys go out as almost mercenaries to destroy other franchises and then return to the Patriots. The only way I thought that DeShone Kizer was going to end up starting for the Browns this year was if Brock Osweiler got hurt. I know that they brought in Brock Osweiler. A lot of people thought, okay, Cleveland's finally got a quarterback, like we hear every single year, even though Brock Osweiler sucks. But he's tall, so he's going to keep getting shots. But no, DeShone Kizer, the Notre Dame quarterback who was drafted by the Browns, it looks like he is going to be the starter in week one. I don't have high hopes for him.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see him being decent for them, and decent for the Browns isn't really saying right. much compared to what they've had lately. So I think he'll be an improvement over what they've had. I don't think he's the guy that takes them to the next level. Which the next level being like, what, like six wins a year?
Fighting for that third place spot in the NFC North, or AFC North.
That's been my favorite part of the preseason so far, is seeing their fans just get so pumped about a four, you know, a possible, they are 4-0 now, aren't they?
3-0, but.
3-0, but a possible 4-0 start.
Yeah, no, and I mean, who can beat them? I mean, honestly. No one's done it yet.
And you see the 0-16 Detroit Lions that went 4-0 in the preseason. Yep. It's like, do you guys realize that it really doesn't matter?
Going undefeated in the preseason just proves that your first and second string is better than every other team's four string.
Yeah.
Because that's really all they're doing is playing their whole Browns are, they have so many questions at their actual starting 22. That there's guys that can possibly be starting playing late in the second half against guys that are probably going to be lucky to be on a practice squad somewhere else.
You know, with playing fantasy football, I feel like on every single team, I can like name a wide receiver just from playing football. Since Terrell Pryor left Cleveland, I couldn't name a single wide receiver on the Browns.
Hawkins still there? Did he leave there too?
Nah, he retired.
He's done. Yeah, he's an educated man now. He just got his master's from Columbia, I think.
Did he? Nice.
Yep. He decided to. That's how much it sucks playing for the Browns. He decided to go back and torture himself with an Ivy League master's degree. He's like, screw this. I'd rather be up all night doing homework.
So sticking with shitty Cleveland teams, it looks like the Kyrie trade might not go through due to Isaiah Thomas's hip issues.
Could you imagine how awkward that's going to be if they have to play in the first game together?
Yeah, I mean, I can.
It's just super awkward.
It's going to be funny.
Before the trade happened, it would have been awkward no matter what, since Kyrie wanted out. But now that he switched teams officially, like the trade got accepted, and then for a medical reason, it may not go through. That makes it just even more that awkward.
Yeah, if for some reason this ends up getting voided and Kyrie stays in Cleveland, I could see him, and I'm assuming he's already in Boston in this particular scenario I'm playing out. I could see him, like, someone trying to pull him back on the plane to Cleveland and him, like, clinging on to, like, the edge of the little the entry ramp, like, refusing to go. Yeah, like a little kid. Like, I'm not going back to Cleveland.
Like the child he is. So with Isaiah Thomas having these hip issues, the Cavaliers are actually asking for more from Boston than they already got with, you know, the first round draft pick and three players, Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, and the center whose name I can't pronounce. But they're actually asking for either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, reportedly. And both of them were first round number three picks in the 16 and 17 draft. It's insane the price tag that Cleveland is now holding over the Celtics' head for this.
I think they're honestly just weighing the insanity of Danny Ainge at this point, just to see if he's like going to pull the trigger and say, yeah, why not? We'll send you our two best picks for the last 2 years, and because he's done a lot of wild things this offseason. So
this whole thing, it's essentially the same as the inspection when you're buying a house. You know, you find something that you didn't like, and you say, "All right, well, I'm going to up the price a little bit now, or I'm going to ask you to knock this much off because we found something we didn't like there." So I think Cleveland's taken the right way, because you never want to say, okay, well, you have to fix this before we accept the trade, because then, you know, they're going to get some shitty guy in there that's going to half-ass it. At least now Cleveland knows that they're going to get their own guys in there to fix Isaiah Thomas's hips.
Yeah, you don't want them hiring Dr. Nick to come in and do the surgery. Yeah, and I think that they're going to try to get whatever they can out of Boston, but I also think that if they feel like they can get a better return from another team now that the price is almost set, they're almost playing into asking too much from Boston to the point where Boston says, nope, it's off. That way they can have Kyrie back. And then before you know it, they're talking to another team that the asking price is already out there. So it's a lot easier to go to the negotiation table. So
after seeing what they got for Kyrie versus what the Pacers got for Paul George, like the table's been set for the price.
Yep.
And that would make a lot of sense for the Cavaliers to say, Isaiah's hip is worse than you let on. We're going to send him back unless you throw in one of these two young guys or, you know, one of the six first round draft picks that they have coming up in the next 2 years or whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah. Some ridiculous number. Yep.
And Boston's going to have to trade some of those picks because they don't have six guys worthy of being cut. So there's no way that they can take six first round guys over the next 2 years and keep the team intact. And otherwise you're going to become the Philadelphia 76ers.
Maybe that's why they ship three guys off to Cleveland and trade for Kyrie. They're just trying to make space for other draft picks they got coming
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, really.
We're only going to play with seven guys this year, so you have to work on cardio this offseason. Yeah.
The story with Kyrie and Boston just keeps getting crazier and crazier, so we'll see where it takes us from here. But I have a feeling there's not going to be a happy ending somehow.
No.
Someone else who didn't have a happy ending. Ryan Russillo found himself in the news, ESPN radio personality. He found himself under arrest Wednesday night out in, was it Montana?
It's Montana or Wyoming. He was on vacation. He hasn't been on his show all week.
Yep, he was out on vacation and, he was enjoying himself, had a few cocktails as, anyone, would do on vacation and happened to wake up inside somebody else's condo absolutely hammered, and they tried to get him to leave because he wasn't supposed to be there, and he refused to leave because he thought he was supposed to be there. I believe he also had his pants down around his ankles, and he got, I think he got arrested for, I think what the charge was, like trespassing or something. I forget exactly what it was.
It was a misdemeanor.
Yeah. He didn't get breaking and entering. Cause I guess they said that the door wasn't like locked. He just walked in, but, and clearly it was just a case of him being so hammered. He went to the wrong place. It wasn't like he was actually breaking in to steal something or do anybody harm, but
Buddy.
Yeah, he was just shit faced and didn't know where the hell he was going.
When the story first came out, the story was he was in an apartment. He refused to leave despite people telling him he wasn't welcome there. And then when the cops showed up, they pointed to the guest room and they opened the door and found him passed out in the guest room. So my first thought was this was some hookup at a bar that had gone wrong where he followed girls back from the bar. Mm-hmm. They were like, hey, go home. We're not really interested in that. And he refused. But now, like you just as laying it out, he was in a situation that I feel like just about any of us have probably ever been in or but could be in. Not that we've wandered into strange houses and fallen asleep, but we've been in the state of mind where that could have happened.
Could you imagine that, though? You're just out there on vacation with your family, and then all of a sudden at 2 o'clock in the morning, the unfunny one from the SVP show just shows up drunk in your house and won't leave, and you're just, like, trying to be there with your kids and enjoy some family time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a funny story. It sucks for him that he made the news while he was on vacation, but I don't think that ESPN will end up doing anything to him, nor does anything really need to be done. I mean, it was just a simple...
He was having fun.
Mistake. It's not like he was fighting people.
He didn't trash anything. Yeah. He didn't do anything harmful. And we used to, a little behind the curtain for all our listeners out there. We used to live in a place when we were spending our finest years in Athens, Ohio. One of the houses we lived in was a series of townhouses. And I can count at least two or three times where we'd have people randomly walk into our house later at night thinking that it was their friend's apartment or their friend's house or sometimes even their own house. When everything looks the same and it's 3 a.m. and you've been drinking all night.
Sober a couple times.
Yeah, there were times where
shit.
Yep.
It's this one.
So I can see how that happens, especially in a place you're unfamiliar with. But unfortunately for him, his week off didn't turn into a nice, relaxing week off. It turned into having to have a lot of answers for the bosses back in Bristol.
Yep.
So it's confession time for me, fellas. This is one of the segments that we like to do every once in a while when something pops into our head that we're a little bit ashamed of, and we feel like we need to come clean. So earlier tonight, before we started recording on Sunday, the confession that I'm going to lay out to you is that I actually watched like the first hour of the MTV Music Awards, and I felt very guilty the entire time. I knew none of the people that were performing. And I kind of did it just to see if Demi Lovato would be there after her performance of the national anthem for Mayweather McGregor. I kind of wanted to see what she was wearing tonight. I didn't see her. But that's my confession, is that I actually spent like an hour watching the MTV Music Awards.
We don't have the ability to do that because we have PlayStation View. And we actually found out the hard way that we didn't have a way to do that, because my wife wanted to take a look at that, but we couldn't. And MTV is one of the ones where you can't watch anything through their website or their app unless you actually log in through your cable provider's account. Those greedy bastards at Viacom.
Yeah, I know Comedy Central's lumped in with that too. And South Park comes back September 13th.
Yeah. So Katy Perry was hosting it, and she's got a weird haircut now. I don't pay attention to her enough to know if that's recent or not, but she's got short, weird hair. She's blonde also.
Her and T-Swift have gone full Miley Cyrus. They're trying to copy Miley.
They did release the music video for Taylor Swift's newest song, which was trash. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but I did not like the song or the video at all. She was like, I don't know. I can't explain it because of how weird and dumb it was.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, I don't know. The reason that I watched it is because I wanted to see how washed up and old I was. And I confirmed I am washed up and old. I knew no one that was performing. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard of the two people that I saw get awards. I don't know. I don't know why I watched it, but I did confirm that I am old and washed up.
I've watched in years past just to see, like, when it's a host that I enjoyed, if it's somebody I thought was funny, or, you know, I knew that there was a performance of one of the people that I liked. Especially nowadays, there's so much other stuff that I want to watch and want to do. I'd probably just get mad and feel bad about how old I was, if I were to watch it. Just because not only are they so much younger, and maybe this is because I'm so much older than most of these people now, but everybody's so fucking weird now.
Yeah.
Like, nobody just wears normal clothes. Nobody just has normal.
Weird as in, man.
Yeah. It's so weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like stuff Lady Gaga was doing a couple years ago would not even really, people wouldn't bat an eye at half the time anymore.
She's a trailblazer.
Oh, that's a fair confession, DB. I mean, I've done it. It's something that, I mean, whether it was, you know, just a byproduct of his wife, but Witty could have been in that same seat tonight.
I was going to say, I guess the real confession is that my wife was not in the room with me. Like, it was just me, like, watching it by myself.
She was watching football, probably.
I made her go to the bedroom. Like,
she's downstairs, like, the Niners game's on. He's like, let me watch this award real quick.
Well, that sounds like a role reversal that, you know, doesn't fit the typical red meat eating man watching sports while his wife's off watching the soaps.
We already know he prefers chicken to steak, so.
That's true, he has. That's another confession. That's confession than. That's a bigger confession than. But no, in the spirit of the Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fight, it got us thinking about some other athletes that we'd like to see try their hand in other sports. Some athletes have actually done this not so successfully. Some of them have been relatively successful.
Deion Sanders, baby.
That's right. And I know we've talked about before Steph Curry golfing, which a lot of guys have done that too. But so our fantasy draft are the athletes that we'd like to see try their hands in their a different sport. Leading us off is Hefe.
I'm going to go first round pick, Bryce Harper. And I want to see Bryce Harper do professional bull riding. because them locks are going to be flowing.
Yeah.
When he's rocking back and forth on a bull. So,
not if he's got a cowboy hat on.
Well, he's pulling that thing off 2 seconds into coming out of the gate.
Do they have cowboy hat visors?
He's the
classic
cowboy hat to the side. He's holding it, and he's going to get really into it. And that hair is going to just be flowing. It's going to look good. It's going to look good.
That's a good one. That is a good one. My first pick, I don't know how no one picked this one yet. I would like to see O.J. Simpson try his hand in fencing.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, obviously.
Touché.
Yeah. I think Hefe swung and missed on not picking that right away.
yeah, that one was just sitting there waiting for him to be plucked.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think OJ'd be pretty good at that.
Yeah. So, my first round pick is, it's kind of a little, it's not something I think this person would be good at, but I want to see them do it because I think they'd be so bad at it. I'd like to see Sidney Crosby do UFC because I just would love to see him absolutely get his ass beat.
Nice.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost a sin to punch him on the ice. He doesn't get in many fights because he has other guys on the team do his fighting for him. But that would be great to just see him get punched right in the face.
Yeah, that's how it'd be with the UFC too. Someone would punch him once, and out of nowhere, there'd be like five Penguins guys just jump on the other dude's back and start beating his ass from behind.
Which, fun fact, Brandon Dubinsky is the only player in NHL history to fight both Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I think Crosby's only had a couple of career fights, and two of them were against Dubinsky.
Yeah, Doobie's definitely good at getting under his skin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, my first pick is, I'll stick with the Octagon. I would like to see Ron Artest fight a random fan in the Octagon.
Nice.
That he's already got a little bit of experience just picking out random people to punch. So I feel like he'd probably be all right at it. He's just crazy enough to that he would be good at it, and I think he could have a future as an MMA fighter.
And I know earlier we were talking, we said all of ours were so far off the board that we didn't think that anyone would overlap, and that was one of mine. So
was it?
I was gonna say, mine was Ron Artest and boxing, but yeah, that's a good one. I think that he would. I think he is more of a ground and pound guy, so I think mixed martial arts is more his style.
Yeah. So, the other one, my next one is a high school athlete. He tried a little bit in college, but I think that our good buddy Mac would be pretty good in the WNBA.
That was one of mine.
I think he could be.
You know, I don't know if he would be MVP level, but
maybe you
I
should
feel
check
like
the blog.
Could,
yeah.
Pretty convincing argument.
Yeah, that's true. I know you're very boastful about yourself, but I feel like once you got into playing shape, you could be a dominant force in the WNBA well into your 40s.
Yep. I got 9 more years left.
So yeah, I just stole two people's and we didn't think that any of ours would overlap, and I just stole two off of someone's list.
All right. So my next round pick is going to be and I couldn't pick one here, so I'm going to lump two guys together. Either Messi or Ronaldo coming to the NFL and being an NFL kicker, because it's a shame to see guys that are that good at kicking waste their talent on some random game instead of actually putting it to work in a real sport. So I'd like to see them come over to the NFL and actually do something with their lives.
They could do double duty. They could play for FC Cincinnati and the Bengals.
There you go.
Boom.
Bengals already have two kickers. They don't need a third.
Elliot missed a kick today.
He did. Yeah. Yes, he pushed it.
I think they
it.
Made him miss it.
Rest in peace, Elliot's career.
They want to sneak him in on that practice squad, so they were like, hey, go out and miss this kick real quick.
Which, when I was a little kid, I couldn't handle the fact that Deion Sanders played for the Reds and the Falcons. And then I guess maybe the Cowboys at some point when he's with the Reds, but it just
49ers.
Was it 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just mind-boggling to me that, you know, why doesn't he just play for the same team in the same city? That's,
yeah.
Like, why would he want to fly on a plane and live somewhere else the rest of the year? But that was also stupid little Mac.
I mean, you're not wrong. I would have took him in the... I would have took him as a DB.
Oh, yeah, sure. I think the Bengals would have loved it. It's just, you know, there's that whole contract thing that you have to deal with.
Contracts are such bullshit.
I know. Ruining
freelance
sports.
NFL players. We'll take J.J. Watt this week.
All right. My next pick is in the same vein as DB's pick of yours truly dominating. I want to see Dikembe Mutombo play women's volleyball.
Dude, I have that one on my list.
Do you really?
Yeah. I had beach volleyball, but yeah, same thing.
I would just post him up. I mean, I don't know if I don't know anything about volleyball, so I don't know if it's the same rules as gym class, where you rotate. But
yeah,
but you'd have at least three sets where he's just standing there with his arms up in the air, just swatting the shit back at everyone.
Oh yeah, in every single block, you'd get that finger wave going.
Oh yeah, no. But yeah, I'm sorry to steal that one from you, DB. That's
all right. I stole one of yours. I just had the vision of him, like, you know, blocking a shot at the net and then just wagging that finger back and forth.
Mm-hmm. With my next pick, I am going to go with one Mr. Conor McGregor. I just want to paint a picture here for you. So WrestleMania 35, I'd like to see Conor just run out and interfere with a match. He doesn't have to stick in the WWE, but I just think his personality fits the WWE so well. He would be very entertaining. Enzo Amore type, I think. I could see him being kind of the one that just entertains on the mic the whole time.
Ooh, a Connor. Yeah. You seen a Connor and Big Cass team up there?
Yeah. To combat a Big Show and Enzo Amore team at WrestleMania 35.
A 55-year-old Big Show.
calling it now.
No, I think I agree with you. I think he fits that. I see him doing a stint in the WWE. I don't think he'll be a long-term performer, but I think for sure at some point.
Yeah, he's got such a good personality for it.
They say Ronda Rousey's eventually going to end up there at some point too. Ronda Rousey's. But yeah, there are two really big Irish performers in the WWE that they were saying Conor would complement really well to push that entire part of the world, full-blown WWE. So that's a good one. I think he could work in the right situation, Hefe.
And then with my final pick, we've talked about this guy a lot, and I know Max talked about him. I want to see Aaron Judge on a football field. He's a freak of nature, size-wise in baseball. He gets brought back down to earth a little bit more in the NFL, but I just think he'd be an unreal tight end.
Yeah.
He was a pretty good basketball player in high school.
I just see him being an unreal tight end coming across the middle.
I was thinking defensive end, too.
Yeah, or a defensive end. Just anything where he could just basically use
his length.
Just God-given height, length.
Could you imagine if you factor in the football spikes and then a helmet, too, how hard it would be to find things taller than him with his equipment on?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, Hefe had a hard enough time just
coming up with one or two things.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if you make him 6'9", that's really tough. Nice. Really nice. That's good. When I had thought of Aaron Judge for a couple of different sports, but I couldn't. One of mine was tennis, because when I play tennis, I just try to hit the ball as far as I can out of the cage.
Yeah.
So I thought Aaron Judge could do that, and he could make people, you know. I was picturing at the U.S. Open in New York, where it's a massive arena, but him just making people eat tennis balls about 50 rows up. Good work, Hefe. Oh, man, I got a couple here. I'll give my third one. This is a little outside of the box. I think he used to be decent at this sport, but then he chose to take another route with his professional athletic career. I would like to see Tim Tebow play football.
Ooh.
I think he could play well. Obviously, there's not many good options for backup quarterbacks
out there right now. Literally none.
So, I mean,
I just don't see him transitioning his skills to football though. I don't know.
So the one that I obviously won't make it my last pick anymore, but I had one in a very similar vein as that. Mac. I wanted to see how Marcus Hunt would do on a football field. We already know that he is a great discus and shot putter, but I really think if you put him on an NFL field that he'll make some noise.
He'll probably block a lot of extra points and field goals.
Yeah,
he could.
That one time 3 years after he got drafted.
That was going to be my last round pick, though, was Marcus Hunt. I'll make it something different now, but yeah.
But no, so I think Tim Tebow should maybe give up his baseball career that he's been working so hard for his entire life and give football a shot because, you know, stocky left-handed quarterbacks who can't throw the ball very well are in high demand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jared Lorenzen, come back.
Yeah.
Wait, what's your definition of stocky?
We're all stocky. That's a good one. So my last round pick, this is going to be more of a, you know, this athlete's pretty much done everything they can do in their sport. They really don't have much else to prove. So I'd like to see them kind of make the jump to do their next best thing. But I'd like to see a Triple Crown winner American Pharoah try his hand at football. Just because with his combination of power and speed, I mean, I think you're looking at like the next, you know, Adrian Peterson type of running back. So you put the pads on American Pharoah, I think he would absolutely dominate. Obviously, he's going to play for the Colts or the Broncos probably, but maybe the Redskins or Cowboys as a fallback. The one question is, I mean, he's got that pure speed, but does he have, you know, football speed once he puts the pads on? So that remains to be seen, but I'd at least like to try and see him give him a shot just to see how he does.
Oh, that's so fucking that's dumb. Awesome.
That's brilliant.
My last pick is strictly to piss off Hefe. I don't know if you've ever heard this comparison, but I really think that Usain Bolt would be an outstanding wide receiver if he got his chance in the NFL.
Maybe we should do a sports scientist. I don't know if you
try and make that argument. He could be the tall version of John Ross.
Yeah.
I need that really nerdy dude that wears a tucked in dress shirt on Sports Science on ESPN to explain to me how fast he is and his acceleration compared to a cheetah and how that translates to a football player.
All right, so my honorable mentions, one of them is right along the lines of American Pharoah. I would like to see there. I have two that I would like to see be jockeys. So not the actual, I wouldn't want to see the horse himself.
Yeah.
In a different sport, but I would like to see Floyd Mayweather be a jockey.
Nice.
Because he's a short, tiny little man that would probably be great at it.
Yeah.
Or Shaq.
I had a couple along those same lines, DB, and one of the ones I was thinking of was Shaq as a jockey. And the other one was,
I think there was a commercial a couple years
ago.
I'd
like to see Aaron Judge as a jockey as well. Just someone who's absurdly big that obviously couldn't be a jockey.
Right.
And I'd like to see him be a jockey on like a pony too, not like a huge horse.
He could be on one of those little like horses that trot like at Miami Valley Gaming.
Yeah.
They like have the little buggy behind them. They like just trot. They're not actually the full size thoroughbreds.
Right, right. And then my other honorable mention I had was I would like to see LeBron James try his hand at European basketball just so we don't have to fucking see him anymore.
I think he could dominate overseas.
Yeah. And then when my WNBA team is doing a international tour, maybe we'll match up and I'll finally get my shot at LeBron.
There you go.
My honorable mentions I had, one of mine was LeBron playing football so we could finally prove that, yes, he would be good enough size-wise to be a tight end, but he couldn't handle one single hit going across the middle.
He played high school football, Mac.
Oh, my gosh. He played high school football at a Division V school that, you know, had like 30 kids on the team.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of his comparison. Him saying, he even said it last year. No, I'm a football player. No, you're not, motherfucker. You are a basketball player. You're a 6'8 piece of shit who can't handle a bump through the paint without acting like they got shot. So I don't think you're going to be able to handle a linebacker just crushing your ribs when you go up for a pass. And my last honorable mention was Rougned Odor. I want to see him be a boxer. He rocked Joey Batts last year, 2 years ago. So
yeah,
he's got a pretty nice, pretty powerful punch.
All right. So thank you for checking out today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast. Hit us up on Twitter at Milliron Sports, and in our Twitter bio is each of our individual Twitter accounts. You can also follow us on Facebook at Milliron Sports, and make sure you check out the website for our blogs at MillironSports.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you think of the episodes, and thanks for following.